You deserve better than your bank. Better service, better rates, better solutions. If you live or work in Cobb County, now is the perfect time to make the switch to the Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank. Since 1960, Credit Union of Georgia has been providing Northwest Georgia with financial solutions that make sense for your home, business, and family. As a homegrown, not-for-profit cooperative, our members are our mission. Not only will you get the best loan rates, you'll get personalized customer service from people who understand your needs. Plus, Credit Union of Georgia provides real convenience with a network of more than 30,000 accessible ATMs and branch locations across the country. Of course, there's also 5 locations right here in Cobb County. Ready to see how much better your banking can be with Credit Union of Georgia? Become a member today or apply for a loan online by visiting www.cuofga.org. Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Cobb Life podcast. This is Cobb Life editor Katie Ruth-Camp, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by State Rep Terry Anulowitz. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Katie Ruth. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining me. I mean, you haven't had anything going on lately, right? It's been really boring for
It's been really, quiet, boring. You know, 2021 is off to a very relaxing, chill start.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. We've had a lot of changes in the political scene in Cobb alone, and a lot of women stepping up. Are you proud to see a few more female politicians joining you?
I think it's delightful. And I think that, you know, especially talking about this 20 over 40 issue of Cobb Life magazine, mm-hmm. I think it's really notable that Cobb County is in many ways led overwhelmingly by women who are over 40. And it's something that I think is remarkable. You know, I'm a Gen Xer and I'm a very proud Gen Xer. And I've been saying for a couple of years that I think a lot of people don't really appreciate how much of Cobb County is really led by Gen X women. But now it's clear. I mean, if you look at the Cobb Commission, it is 100% women. Mm-hmm. If you look at, you know, I'm in the Georgia House of Representatives. We have other women like Sharon Cooper in the Georgia House of Representatives. Jen Jordan is representing so much of Cobb County in the Senate. You've got Tracy Stieff, who is running the Town Center CID. You've got mm-hmm. Kim Menefee in the Cumberland CID. You've got Sharon Mason with the Cobb Chamber. I mean, there are a lot of really incredible dynamic women in positions of leadership and power in this county. And I think it's really remarkable, you know, and one thing I've joked about this, but I'm also serious having served as mayor pro tem in Smyrna, those county commission meetings are about to be a lot more efficient than they ever have.
Women know how to get it done quicker, right?
We know how to get it done. We really do.
Well, and you mentioned the 20 in their 40s. So for those who are listening, if they picked up the Cobb Life magazine that came out in January, that was our annual Cobb Life list. And last year we had 20 under 40. So this year we wanted to do a play on that and honor some people that are probably left out of a lot of awards when they're in the in-betweener stage. So we did 20 in their 40s. So you obviously are one of them. You're joined by, like you said, Tracy Stieff and Lisa Cupid and lots of other great people. So we were excited to have you in the issue and excited to have you as my first 20 in their 40s person to interview. So...
Thank you. And again, thanks for having me. And I do appreciate the 20 over 40, because if you are in your 40s, if you're a Gen Xer, that's kind of the story of our lives. It's good to be recognized.
I'm not quite getting in the young professional category anymore, but I'm also not ready to retire. So
no, exactly. When I joined the General Assembly my first session was in 2018, and mm-hmm. a colleague came to me and said, "You need to come join us in the under 40 caucus." And I was like, "Well, that's a great testament to my skincare routine, but I'm actually not under 40.
No, one of the people that was nominated, and then once she was chosen, Amy Price, so she's a designer with Starling Studio. And she, when I told her she had been picked, she was like, "This is wonderful, but oh my gosh, now everybody's going to know I'm over 40.
Exactly.
Because she was like, "Can I just be like a young professional nominee?" Well, so tell, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with your background, I know you mentioned that you were mayor pro tem for Smyrna for a while, but where did you grow up? What's your education background? Tell us your story.
Absolutely. So I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. My mother and her parents, you know, go back in New Orleans many generations. My father's from Mississippi, and he worked in the oil industry. He worked for Shell Oil Company for more than 40 years. And so mm-hmm. I was born in New Orleans. And for my childhood, we were really back and forth between the New Orleans area and the Houston, Metro Houston area. Mm-hmm. And so I actually considered Texas to be a big part of my home also, because I spent my formative years, you know, I went to from fourth grade through when I graduated from high school, we lived in Houston. Mm-hmm. And so a big part of my heart is in Texas also, but home is, you know, has always really been Louisiana. That's always been home base for my family. But I moved to Georgia in 1994. I moved to Decatur in 1994 to attend Agnes Scott College. And I graduated from Agnes Scott College in 1998 and stayed in Atlanta. I loved Atlanta. I lived in Virginia Highlands, which was a fantastic place to live when you are, you know, young and single and living up life. Atlanta was a fun place to be in. I mean, it's always a fun place to be, but in the late 1990s, there was a lot of stuff happening here in Atlanta, and it was very neat to be in the middle of it. And so I actually met my husband in 2000, in the summer of 2000, we met.
And where did you meet?
We met at the Claremont Lounge in Atlanta.
Did Blondie introduce you?
No, Blondie was there. And it's funny, when we got married 2 years later, the priest, we actually got married in New Orleans at the same church where my grandparents were married, and the same priest who married my parents. And we got married on my parents' 28th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
But the priest said, who he was not from Atlanta, lifelong New Orleanian, said in one fateful night, the Holy Spirit was present at the Claremont Lounge. And
there's probably a lot present at the Claremont Lounge that night.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a person of faith, and I believe the Holy Spirit is present everywhere and in every one of us. So I think that technically he's correct, but if you've been to the Claremont Lounge, you might pause a little bit. So we met, and he was, you know, we made our home in Cobb County. We lived in unincorporated Smyrna, actually, right inside 285. Mm-hmm. It's close to Vinings. Now it actually has the same zip code as Vinings. And then when our son was born in 2004, we started looking for something with a little bit more room and just fell in love with Smyrna. I mean, it just absolutely fell in love with Smyrna. I remember driving around to Smyrna, and I had my baby in the backseat of the station wagon, and realizing that in Smyrna, we could live in a community where I could put my baby in a stroller and we could walk to the library. We could walk to restaurants. We could walk to, I mean, there are so three parks within an easy walk of my house. And, you know, now 15 years later, since making that move to the city of Smyrna, you know, my son walks to Campbell High School every day, you know, to go to school. We have, you know, the most incredible neighbors. Smyrna is the most wonderful place. And so in 2007, when I was pregnant with my daughter, my professional background is working in advocacy and communications. Mm-hmm. And I spent several years working actually at the Capitol, doing alliance development, which is a fancy word for building coalitions. And I would build coalitions, and we would advocate for issues. And the issues that I typically advocated for the most had to do with patient access to prescription medicine. So I was very familiar with the Capitol. Mm-hmm. I was very familiar with the processes, and I knew that I was good at running grassroots campaigns. Mm-hmm. And so I you know, was pregnant with my daughter. I had stopped working full time. I wanted to offer some of my skills to my community. So I reached out to my city council representative at the time and, you know, sent emails, did phone calls, said, hey, I'm here. I live here. I walk by City Hall every day when I'm out pushing my baby in the stroller. And I would love to get more involved. I'd love to offer my services to this community. You know, this is our home. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with a legacy of service. You know, my mother was always, you know, has always been a dynamic volunteer. My grandmother and my grandfather, you know, my grandfather worked for the government in Louisiana. He did a lot of work in Louisiana politics. My grandmother was an educator for decades in Louisiana and always volunteered with causes that were important to her and led those causes that were important to her. So that's the legacy of service that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to bring that to my home now in Smyrna. And I never heard back. And I thought, well, you know what? How hard can this be? There's an election coming up. I know how to run a campaign. I know how to communicate. And I know what people in this community want. And what that is information. They want accessibility and they want transparency. Mm-hmm. It's not that difficult. And so I threw my hat in the ring and I was pregnant with my daughter and I had a toddler at home and I have a husband who works a demanding job. And we ran a grassroots campaign. I had, a wonderful neighbor. I got a gentleman named Ron Davis, who was, the most incredible and effective canvasser who I've ever met. To this day, I've never met anyone who can canvas like Ron Davis could canvas because I was pregnant. So canvassing was a little bit trickier than it might otherwise be. But I actually, I beat a 19-year incumbent. And then I served for almost 10 years on the Smyrna City Council, finishing up as mayor pro tem. And I was able to really bring the issues that were so important to the community. And when I say community, I don't just mean the me and my friends community. I think it's really easy to forget that me and my friends is not a representative sample. But really the Ward 3 community, which included, and included my neighborhood and sort of the redeveloped area in the Smyrna Market Village, and included the Williams Park community, it included the historic Rose Garden community, making sure that all of those neighbors, all of my neighbors, the people who I would see at the supermarket, that what was important to them, that was being represented at mm-hmm. the city council level. And I fell in love with municipal government.
Well, and I think sometimes when people run for office, sometimes they're well known in the community, but they're well known by like a certain group of people. And I think sometimes it can be easy to think like, oh, I can get elected because I know everybody. But then you, like you said, you don't know everybody. And there's people on the outliers and people on the fringe that sometimes people don't think about when they're trying to, think about who would support them or how they could get elected. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. And all of those people are important, mm-hmm. every resident, now with House District 42 that I represent now, that's parts of Smyrna. It's parts of Marietta. I go up to, all the way up to the southern edge of the Marietta Square. I have, mm-hmm. the meeting street area, meeting park, Victory Park, all of those different communities. I represent Fair Oaks. I represent the Franklin Gateway community. And those are all communities with a very different set of circumstances in
sure.
many cases. Economic circumstances are very different in some of the parts of Smyrna I represent, and some of the parts of Marietta I represent, and even within the parts of Smyrna and Marietta that I represent, and recognizing that while these circumstances are different, everyone wants to live in a safe community. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to have schools that are adequately funded. Everyone wants to have access to healthcare when they're sick. And knowing that we all have these commonalities. We all have these core values and core things that we want in our community. We all live in very different neighborhoods. We all have very different backgrounds, but we moved to the same community for a reason. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, really, like you said, it's not just me and my friends, and it's not just me and the people in my social club or me and the people in my Sunday school group. It's the entire community.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just outside of your district. I don't know how, but it snaked around my street somehow. Redistricting, right?
Exactly. I say redistricting is coming.
Just make sure I'm in there somewhere, right?
I will do my best.
Snake over a little bit. Well, I mean, running for office is hard enough in and of itself. How in the world did you do it pregnant?
I mean, the same way you do anything pregnant. You just get out of breath a little faster.
You're knocking on doors and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. The first time I actually met Max Bacon, who was mayor, I was, in the city council in person, I was, out there, with the stroller and a bunch of flyers, walking around the neighborhood. And he was like, oh, it's you. And then, when I was elected, I had a one-on-one meeting with him, and I was due in March. So when, by the time I was, sworn in, this was January. So I was mm-hmm. in my third trimester, and he looked at me and he said, how did this happen?
Well, Mayor Bacon never held back anyway.
No, he didn't. And so what I said to Mayor Bacon, I said, well, Max, when a mommy and a daddy love each other very much, sometimes this will happen.
So. Well, we kind of have, I guess it's a little bit of a joke, but in the newsroom, obviously, not so much me anymore. I'm not as involved in politics and investigative reporting like I did when I first started. But obviously, we do cover all of those things. And so many times, you know, we run into so many issues with politicians or, you know, having to deal with things. And it's just like, why does anybody run for office? You know, we just joke, like, why does anybody put themselves through this? So what made you want to put yourself through this? What made you want to run for office and keep running for office?
Right. No, that's a great question. And to be clear, I never said I would run for school board.
That's true.
God bless them. God bless them. But it goes back to that drive to, you know, knowing that I had a set of skills. I think I'm an above average communicator. Mm-hmm. I think I am, you know, someone who approaches this role with empathy and understanding, and knowing that, you know, again, with as diverse and dynamic a community as I represent, I do think that I do a good job of representing them. I think I do a good job of trying to get to know the different stakeholders. You know, like when I was, of course, in the city of Smyrna, I always knew every neighborhood has a mayor, right? Like, you know, every neighborhood has sort of the informal person who I think of as like the mayor of that neighborhood. It might be the HOA president. It might be a longtime resident who makes sure, you know, if someone's grass isn't getting cut, they'll go over and knock on the door and be like, hey, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting to know sort of those, you know, those neighborhood mayors, you know, the person who's sort of in charge of their block.
Right.
And, you know, and also working with different organizations. Like when I was first elected, I knew Smyrna and Smyrna knew me, but I didn't know a lot of the folks in Marietta as well. And so I made it a point to start calling people who I did know and say, okay, who do I need to know in Marietta? You know, I called Superintendent Grant Rivera, who I had gotten to know when he was the principal of Campbell High School. Mm-hmm. When I was first on the Smyrna City Council, I called Dr. Rivera. I was like, who do I need to know? I called Chief David Lee, who was the police chief in Smyrna, who had been a deputy chief in Marietta. So, okay, Chief Lee, who do I need to know? You know, and then I started talking to Chief Flynn. I started talking to, you know, one name that actually kept coming up over and over again, no matter who I talked to in Marietta, was Danae Badia McCray, mm-hmm. who runs the Marietta Police Athletic League and is very involved with, you know, the Franklin Road Community Association. And the other name that kept coming up was Laura Keefe, who runs the YELS, the mm-hmm. Youth Empowerment for Leadership and Learning Skills over on Franklin Gateway. And I made it a point to get to know Danae. And now I actually serve on the Marietta Police Athletic League board. I got to know Laura Keefe at YELS, and I've actually had several of my town hall meetings or every session. And, you know, hopefully as soon as we're all vaccinated this session, I can do the same thing, as have a listening session at YELS, so that when all of those parents are coming up to pick their kids up after school, I'm there accessible to them. So really, it's so important to get to know, again, who are the people who are actually doing the work and making the things happen in your community. In the mm-hmm. case of Marietta, it's people like Danae Badia McCray. You know, it's folks like that. I've because I come from a municipal background, I really value the relationships that I have with the city council members in the parts of Smyrna and Marietta that mm-hmm. I represent. So, you know, working with Councilmember Joseph Goldstein in Marietta, Cheryl Richardson, who is just my rock in Marietta. She's
my councilwoman.
She is. And you're fortunate. I mean, she is just, I remember we had a community meeting and council members Goldstein and Richardson are amazing and always come to the meetings that I have at YELS and the Franklin Gateway uh-huh. community. And it was shortly after the Gallery Apartments fire. And there was a lot of folks were having a lot of problems with their landlords and with issues there. And one of them said to Councilwoman Richardson, well, I just people always say they're going to do things and, you know, they don't listen to me. They're not going to listen to you, Councilwoman. And Cheryl Richardson said, oh, they will listen to me. And
you don't know me then.
Yes. And I was nodding like a bobblehead. I was like, oh, they'll listen to Councilwoman Richardson. I listen to Councilwoman Richardson, but, you know, but having those relationships, because again, you know, the other thing I do is I really try to do a lot of outreach to the pastors in my community. Mm-hmm. You know, faith leaders in our community, they're the front line. Mm-hmm. Faith leaders, you know, the pastors who we have, they are the folks who, when something is happening in their community, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, and something that I can be of service with, you know, whether it's, I mean, during the pandemic, of course, the biggest issue has been unemployment and interacting with the Georgia Department of Labor, because they have been completely swamped with unemployment claims and, mm-hmm. and, you know, doing what I can to sort of help make sure that these claims or whatever the glitch happens to be gets taken care of. But a lot of times people go to their pastors before they go to anyone else, because that right. is who they know to go to for help. And so making sure I have relationships with the pastors, I send communications out to my pastors, you know, several times a year, mm-hmm. letting them know, you know, that you know, how they can reach me, how they can contact me if they, you know, if anyone's having an issue with a state agency, you know, whether it's the Department of Labor, whether it's DFACS, whatever it might be, so that I can help be that liaison with the state. But I think it's really important to know who the leaders are in the community mm-hmm. that you represent at, you know, larger levels, you know, again, like your city council members, and then at smaller levels, like your pastors and like those, you know, the informal mayors, the block.
Right. That you have. Well, and you mentioned pastors. Obviously, Raphael Warnock just got elected to the Senate, and he is a pastor. Do you think that's going to help him in his role now, having served in that capacity?
I do. I mean, if you're a pastor, you are by default, if you're an effective pastor, like Reverend Warnock is and Senator-elect Warnock is, mm-hmm. you know how to communicate, you know how to inspire. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that is going to be so important as we move forward in 2021 and as we recover from the 2020 election cycle and as we recover from the divisiveness that has been stoked over the past several years in this country. I think having a voice like Reverend Warnock, again, if you're a pastor, you can inspire, and you can inspire your congregation, your constituency, you can inspire them to want to do better, to be greater. And I think that he will be an important voice as we move Georgia forward.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about that. I mean, obviously Georgia has always been a red state. You know, it's been heavily conservative for many, many years. And this year it seems to have turned blue. What do you credit to that? I mean, a lot of people, you know, are thanking Stacey Abrams for the work that she did in trying to get people registered to vote and get out to vote. But what are you seeing changing in our state right now? Because obviously it's changing a great deal.
It is. Georgia is changing a great deal. And Cobb County has been changing. But in Cobb, mm-hmm. it's been a much longer period of time. I would hesitate to say that Cobb has just now turned blue because, you know, Cobb, of course, voted for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. won Cobb County in 2016. Mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams won Cobb County by an even greater margin in 2018. And of course, Joe Biden won Cobb County by even more of a margin. Mm-hmm. I think that Cobb, and one thing that's interesting, I remember, gosh, this has to be now coming on 9 or 10 years ago, I read an Around Town column in the MDJ mm-hmm. and it was talking about, it was when RFRA was happening. When RFRA, the religious, you know, RFRA, which is viewed by many, including myself, to be extremely discriminatory to the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the major corporate stakeholders that we had here in Cobb County, including, you know, companies like Home Depot, were speaking out against RFRA. And in this Around Town column, it said, you know, as if anyone in Atlanta cares about anything happening in, you know, over in the wilds of Cobb County. And I said, okay, if someone actually thinks that somehow the Chattahoochee River is some big divider between Cobb County and the rest of Metro Atlanta, they are woefully mistaken. It's like I tell people, I live in the part of Cobb County where you can see the downtown Atlanta skyline. Uh-huh. And if you think that what's happening in Smyrna, what's happening in the Cumberland area, what's happening in Marietta isn't inextricably entwined with what happens in the city of Marietta in terms of economics, in mm-hmm. terms of business development, and, you know, economic development, in terms of any transit, traffic, any other issue, mm-hmm. you are woefully mistaken. In Cobb County, you know, 60% of the people who live in Cobb County leave Cobb County to go to their jobs in another part of the metro area.
Right. Yeah.
And 60%, about the same amount of our employment, of our, the people who work in Cobb County are coming from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if you think that Cobb is an island unto itself, that is a really parochial and outdated notion. You know, we are a part of Metro Atlanta. There's a reason we're part of the Atlanta Regional Commission.
Right.
You know, there is, I remember talking with then Chairman Boyce when we were working on House Bill 930, which getting the ATL passed and the Atlanta Transit Link Authority. And we were in a COB delegation meeting and Chairman Boyce was there and he said, you know, this is, I'm just not sure about this. And the Atlanta Regional Commission has, you know, they're going to have a lot of say. I said, well, Chairman, you're on the board of the Atlanta Regional Commission. I mean, this is... Like,
you have the say.
We are a voice in this. And So I think that Cobb County becoming increasingly Democratic, and now, you know, again, we have a Democratic commission chair and a majority Democratic county commission, mm-hmm. and the majority of the Cobb delegation is, you know, is Democratic. I think that that is, it's not anything revolutionary. It's merely a reflection of the fact that we are part of Metro Atlanta, mm-hmm. and we have had so many people. You know, the same reason, like I moved to Smyrna, you know, it's like, this is amazing. This is a place that I can afford, I can afford to live, but I can still have the walkability that I would have if I lived mm-hmm. in town, you know, if I lived mm-hmm. somewhere like Virginia Highlands and, or, you know, or a city of Decatur. And I've actually said that, you know, some folk in the East Cobb say that East Cobb is the Buckhead of Cobb County. I say, well, in that case, Smyrna is the Decatur of Cobb County.
Yeah.
But just little by little, you know, young professionals have been moving to Cobb County. You know, people want to live where they work. Mm-hmm. Families now aren't like families when I was growing up and they wanted to move, you know, far away. You know, grown-ups now, people who, you know, in the millennials, they don't want to spend hours every day with their kids rattling around the back of their minivan the way they did growing up. And mm-hmm. so the way we need to think about why people live where they live is changing. Mm-hmm. And the way we think about why people, you know, live where they live, it needs to change too. And that happens in terms of zoning, in terms of density. I dealt with those issues on the city council. You know, a lot of younger families don't have the time to take care of, you know, a half acre yard every week. They don't want to spend their Saturdays out there cutting the grass. They don't like, they're willing to trade off having neighbors who are closer than they might otherwise be to live where they, you know, live like, in, you know, live off the Marietta Square, for example. Density is how that happens. So we really have to rethink how this wasn't some Democratic takeover of Cobb County. It's just sort of almost a natural organic mm-hmm. evolution of more young professionals moving here and more families moving here, our community becoming more diverse. And again, mm-hmm. it's not a takeover. It's representative, right? We're a representative democracy. Mm-hmm. So it's not that there was some kind of, you know, plot of the Democrats, we're going to take over the county commission. It's the people, the residents, the people in Cobb County saying, we want Lisa Cupid to be our voice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back with State Rep Terry Anulowitz.
During difficult times, it can help to talk to a friend or neighbor. But once in a while, you need a lawyer. You need Atlanta's caring lawyers, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen. If you're considering ending your marriage, struggling with a stressful job situation, dealing with a devastating personal injury, or facing end-of-life issues, the team at Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen is here for you. The Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen team has been serving Marietta and Metro Atlanta since 1972. They believe that getting the best possible outcome for their clients begins with energetic and dedicated preparation. From starting a new business to planning an estate, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen have the experience to guide you through some of life's most challenging legal issues. So, the next time you need a cup of sugar or a ride to work, go ahead and call your next-door neighbor. But for the important life issues, turn to the experts, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen. To schedule an information session or case evaluation session, call 770-528-0150. That's 770-528-0150. Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen, Atlanta's caring lawyers. You can search all over America, but you'll find America's largest gun store in Cobb County, Georgia. Adventure Outdoors, proud supporter of the Second Amendment and the red, white, and blue, with over 18,000 guns in stock every day. Did you know Adventure Outdoors is also home to one of Georgia's largest shooting ranges, the Remington Range, with basic range memberships starting at only $25 per month, which includes unlimited lane rental, 3 free firearm rentals per month, free shirt and hat, priority lane placement, and guest passes. Adventure Outdoors also offers family, corporate, and group plans. One of America's America's top shooting facilities is right here in Cobb County. And for only $25 a month, you can be a member and receive unlimited lane rentals and so much more. Support the Second Amendment and your right to own and bear arms, and practice and learn at Adventure Outdoors Remington Range today. Adventure Outdoors, South Cobb Drive in Smyrna, or online at adventureoutdoors.us.
We are back with State Rep Terry Inulowitz. So obviously there's been a lot of things going on lately, and I don't want to be tone deaf to things that we've, you know, witnessed and are dealing with this week with the riots at the Capitol. To me, it's got to be so scary to be one of those senators, one of those congresswomen, to be in the room and to think that somebody could actually storm in there. Everyone's in the same room. And I mean, to potentially just take out everyone in our Senate, everyone in our Congress. You serve on the state House of Representatives. Do you ever have that fear when you're serving at the Capitol, or do you kind of feel what those people must have been feeling that day?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I haven't had that fear prior to this week, but it's certainly something that that is in the front of my mind now. Yeah. You know, it's amazing to think of, you know, to see these pictures of our, you know, our elected representatives. You know, you think about, you know, the Cobb delegation, and you've got, you know, Congresswoman McBath, you've got, you know, Barry Loudermilk, and they're in this room and they're on the ground with gas masks on.
Yeah.
It's so unfathomable. And that's what, you know, I got an argument with my father. He's like, well, you know, it's no different than someone, you know, looting downtown. I said, burning down a Wendy's is not the same thing as scaling the walls of this temple of democracy.
Right, right.
I mean, that is sacred ground.
That holds Republicans and Democrats. You know?
Yes, yes. That is the truly, in every sense, the people's house. And we call the Georgia Capitol the people's house for the same reason. You know, that's the first thing we tell groups of elementary school children when they come visit the Capitol. We say, this is the people's house. This is your house. Mm-hmm. And it is meant to be a sanctuary for democracy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is. It's the Capitol will look different this year. You know, the governor decided several months ago that it was time to put a large fence up around the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And so they're right now, workers are there putting a very tall, you know, cast iron fence.
Wow. Yeah.
around the Capitol. That's going to be different. It's going to look different at the Capitol. Not only are we all going to be down there wearing masks and being socially distanced, but you're going to see much more of a state trooper presence. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again to someone. I'll say it again today. Is, you know, I'm grateful to the work that, you know, the Speaker of the House, especially Speaker Ralston, has really been very clear about the expectations. Mm-hmm. and you know, because it's not just the elected officials who go down there every day.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yeah.
There are all of the staffers. You know, the staffers for the House and the Senate. You know, legislative aides, interns, lobbyists, journalists, advocates. I mean. So many people are at the Capitol today. Scores more people are at the Capitol every day than just elected officials. And they all need to be safe, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you talked to any of your colleagues that were in D.C. or people that you know? What are you hearing about kind of what went down that day?
I think people are just, I think what happened for, you know, is a shock. And I tell you what, it is a testament to the dedication to our nation that, you know, not just our elected officials, but their staffers were, you know, not only did they go, you know, were they attacked? Not only were they, you know, then taken to the undisclosed location where they could be safe. They stayed. They went back out there. They went into that chamber and they finished doing the work of this nation. All of those elected officials, all of those staffers, you know, you've seen a photo of the legislative aides who were, you know, carrying the boxes, you know, of the certified electoral college votes. And one of those young women was from Georgia. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to see their dedication to our democracy, and it's inspiring. And it's, you know, am I nervous about going to the Capitol on Monday? Absolutely. You know, I'm human and I've got a family who wants me to come home safely.
Sure.
But I also have the courage of knowing that I'm going down there to do what is right. And I'm going down there to help preserve in my way and in Georgia, help preserve our democracy and to help do the things that the Georgia Constitution requires us to do. And the Georgia Constitution requires us to convene on the second Monday in January. Mm-hmm. And that is what we are going to do. And we will do that for Georgia.
We mentioned secession starts Monday. What are going to be some of the hot topics? What are going to be some of the things we can expect out of the session?
Absolutely. There are really, I think, four things we're going to hear about the most. The first mm-hmm. thing, and again, the only thing that we are also, we're constitutionally required to get down there on the second Monday of January, and we are constitutionally required to pass a budget. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be the biggest thing, the thing you hear talk about most, and the thing you hear talked about first, because that is the one job we have to do because of the second thing you're going to be hearing about, which is the pandemic. And we don't know. And again, Speaker Ralston's been very clear too, that you know, we're all supposed to be tested twice a week and all the staffers are going to be tested twice a week. Mm-hmm. And if those numbers get too high, we're going to be virtual. You know, we won't be having the General Assembly virtually, but we won't be there at the Capitol because mm-hmm. it's just not safe. And again, mm-hmm. it's not just not safe for us, the elected people. It's not safe for all of the other people who come down and make the Capitol work. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be hearing about the pandemic. You're going to be hearing about funding, you know, the way that Cobb Douglas Public Health has been able to do such an incredible job, and the amazing job that they've done is, you know, they've been able to get funding to help make those things work. And, you know, they've had support from the National Guard to run the testing center. And now it's which will be transforming to the vaccination center down there at Jim R. Miller Park. Mm-hmm. You know, so you'll be hearing about the pandemic response and what this means for all the people who are still unemployed as a result of the pandemic, what the pandemic has meant for our hospitality industries, you know, for the restaurant industries. It's just been devastating. You'll be hearing about the budget, the pandemic. You're going to hear a lot about voting. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what we've heard about anyway. Now, to be absolutely clear, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of any widespread voter fraud in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. All of the lawsuits that the Trump campaign brought against the governor and the secretary of state have been voluntarily dismissed by the Trump campaign, meaning they pulled their lawsuit because they recognized that there's nothing there. There is no voter fraud in Georgia. Our voter system is safe.
Well, and you have a lot of firsthand knowledge with that because your husband is an attorney and he's been working on those lawsuits as well, right?
That's right. That's right. My husband worked as a special assistant attorney general, mm-hmm. representing the state of Georgia in these cases. Mm-hmm. And so it's been very busy at our house the past few weeks,
nothing at all to talk about, right?
No exciting pillow talk in my house, none whatsoever. But going, you know, going back to the voting, we know there is no voter fraud. We know that absentee voting by mail is safe. We know that for democracy, it's good for people to be able to vote. Anyone who is eligible to vote, mm-hmm. we should make it easy for them to vote because that's how we have a stronger, more representative democracy.
Well, and especially in a time of a pandemic too. I mean, my grandmother's 88 years old. She wanted to vote. She voted via mail-in. And, you know, I wouldn't have wanted her to go to a polling precinct. I wouldn't have wanted her to be out, even though I voted in person. I felt very safe. They took all the precautions, but we need to be able to have that option for the people that physically or for other reasons can't get out and actually do that in person.
No, that's exactly right. There are so many reasons why people vote absentee. They might vote absentee because they are sick, you know, because they are disabled. They may be a caregiver. There are so many valid reasons. They might be living overseas. They might be out of state caring for an elderly parent. Mm-hmm. You know, they might be serving in the military. They might be on a job assignment. There are so many reasons that Georgia residents should be able to vote by absentee. And again, there is not a single evidence of fraud. You know, there was a signature audit done in Cobb County. No, you know, nothing, you know, a couple of flags that were raised ended up having perfectly reasonable explanations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's frustrating that there are elected officials in Georgia like Representative Jody Heiss who are still perpetuating this falsehood that there was voter fraud in Georgia because there was not. And if there was, they need to show the evidence and they haven't.
Why do you think they're perpetuating this? What do you think is the reasoning behind this?
Don't know. You know, I can't look into someone else's soul and decide why they've decided to lie about something like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to rally some base, but I think if they're trying to rally some base, you know, and this is sort of a you know, Monday morning quarterbacking of the Senate runoff that we just had, but it's very clear. And if you look at the fact that Bubba McDonald was reelected as a Republican to the Public Service Commission, but Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue were not reelected as United States Senator. And they were also perpetuating this false narrative about voter fraud. And they also really hitched their wagon to Trump. It should be very, very clear that the people in Georgia, the majority of the people in Georgia are saying, no, we're not, we won't stand for that. This is not okay.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody about that the other day, because like you just said, Bubba McDonald's a Republican. He just got reelected at the same time that John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock got elected as Democrats. And I don't think the issue in this election was anti-Republican. I think it was very clearly anti-Trump is the way people were voting.
That's absolutely right. And I think that any Republican that continues to link themselves to Trump is someone who probably needs to get some better political consultants.
And well, tell us. Go ahead.
Well, it's probably someone who needs to do a little bit of a better job of actually talking to the people in their, the people that they represent. You know, if you're surrounding yourself only with people who are telling you what you already believe and confirming what you want to be true, you are not doing a good job of accurately and wholly and completely representing your community. Yeah. And I do think that sooner or later, the voters are going to repudiate you.
Well, taking a sidestep from politics, tell us about you, Terry. What are some of your hobbies? What are some of your interests?
Oh my goodness. Well, I love to cook. I think I'm actually a better than average home cook. And I do, I mean, even during the session, I prepare for session like I'm preparing for a new baby. I've got a freezer full of food. You know, I'm from New Orleans, so we've got red beans and rice in there. I've always got the ingredients ready to throw jambalaya together. I've got several pounds of andouille sausage in my freezer.
Oh, nice.
Even during the session, I cook dinner pretty much every night. You know, I grew up, our family always ate together. And that is something that we do. You know, my children are 16 and almost 13. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having that dinner, because we are so busy. You know, I'm busy during the legislative session. My kids are busy doing, you know, well, in normal times, they're busy doing sports and activities and homework. you know, my husband is very busy. He has a very demanding job, but being able to come together like that every day and have that pause, you know, pause together as a family is something that I really value. And so, you know, so I love to cook. My husband's also an excellent cook. He does most of our weekend cooking, which is nice. We, you know, I exercise. I am one of those insufferable Peloton people, and we have had our Peloton bike for 2 years. I highly recommend it. Both my husband and
I love it. I've thought about getting one, but I was like, will I actually use it?
I use it every single day.
And really? Okay, cool.
They have strength. We could have a whole podcast just about the Peloton. Let's talk about the Peloton. Yes. No, so I do, but you know, I was a CrossFitter for several years. I think it's important to move your body every day. I'm a big knitter. So
really?
I'm knitting the sweater. I knit the sweater that I'm wearing right now. We have no shortage of hats in our house. So I'm a knitter and I'm an avid reader, you know, both fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. I'm a massive fan of print journalism, especially. I'm going to do my pitch. This is like one of my A number one soapbox issue is I really firmly, strongly believe that every family needs to subscribe to the print edition of their local newspaper. Mm-hmm. You're not modeling anything to your children when you're scrolling through the news on your phone. Mm-hmm. It's great. Like we subscribe to, you know, the MDJ, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the Economist, like, and most of those subscriptions are digital, but every day we have a print edition of the local paper come to our house, you know, and the weekends we have, you know, the print edition of the New York Times, in addition to the MDJ and the AJC at the house. But I think it's important if you want to read critically thinking, if you want to raise critically thinking literate children, it's important to have that print version, the dead tree edition of the newspaper on your kitchen table every day.
With your coffee. coffee in the morning. Well, exactly. And that's what drew me to local journalism to begin with, because I mean, if you think about it, I mean, all journalism is important, but especially on a local level, if you don't have a local newspaper, you don't have local journalists keeping checks and balances on school boards and city council meetings and, you know, that sort of thing, a lot of things can go a little haywire, and you're not going to have, you know, USA Today covering what's happening in your backyard, but you need to know what's happening in your backyard. And just like, I think it's the same way with politicians. Sometimes your city council people are making more of a difference in your life or determining what's happening in your life day to day than your state senator.
That's absolutely right. Like I always tell people, your city, I mean, vote in your state races. Absolutely.
Yeah,
vote in these national races, but vote in these, you know, I told a group of young people this, you know, on Saturday, I said, you know, look, if November was your first time voting, that's great. If January 5th was your first time voting, that's great. But don't let it be the last time you vote and for two more years or for four mm-hmm. more years, mm-hmm. because it's those municipal races. And we know in Marietta, you know, Marietta has a mayoral race coming up this year and city council right. races coming up this year. Those local races, those are the ones that hit home, that hit you every day on such a very fundamental, almost primal level. I mean, those municipal races, excuse me.
Those are the
people who make sure that the water that comes out of your tap is safe. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who make sure that when you flush your toilet, that water goes where it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. They make sure that when you call 911, someone comes to your rescue mm-hmm. as fast as they can. You know, right. so that fire put out, that bad guy gets caught, that you have roads that are paved, that you have sidewalks, you know, that you have parks to go to, you know, that you have the quality of life that you need to, you know, everybody wants to live, like I said, everybody wants to live in a safe community. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to have excellent schools. We don't always agree on how we're going to pay for those things, but we all want those things.
Right.
And right. municipal government, you know, your school board, your county commission, that is where the rubber meets the road. And it is so important to be engaged, you know. And that's why local journalism is so important. I mean, you know, the Atlanta paper, they'll cover, you know, big issues on the school board meetings. They'll cover council meetings, but they're not going to cover the zoning issue that's the 15 houses that are being zoned or redeveloped right down the street from where you live. And that's mm-hmm. where local journalism comes in. And there are actually studies, like there's data that shows that communities that lose their local papers, when those local papers fold, their taxes go up because you don't have those eyes. You don't mm-hmm. have those eyes. Like, I, you know, most people are busy. Like I'm a busy person and I've got things that are issues that are important to me. And I've got things that I'm dealing with in my life. I can't follow every single zoning issue that might not, you know, be affecting my backyard. I can't, you know, every single discussion that the city councils have, but when you've got a reporter there and they have eyes on those meetings, that makes a difference in how well your community is run.
Well, and I remember years ago when I was a government reporter and I was covering the county commission, Robert Quigley, God bless him.
Oh gosh.
He would meet with me once a week with that 250 page agenda for the next meeting. And we would literally go page by page. And if I didn't understand something, or if I was like, why are they spending so much money on sidewalks that seem to go nowhere? Or, you know, if there are things that came up, he would find the answers for me, or he would explain things to me. And yeah, if you don't have somebody like that going page by page and keeping track of what's actually happening, you know, a lot of things can happen that before you know it, you're like, whoa, where did this come from? Or why are there 300 houses going up in my backyard and I didn't even know about it? You know,
that's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Representative Anulowitz, and congratulations on your 20 in their 40s award. And best of luck with session. Please stay safe.
I will. You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When you have experienced the loss of a loved one, you can trust Carmichael Funeral Home to guide you through the arrangements necessary to create a meaningful ceremony that celebrates the unique life being honored. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, our staff is committed to providing your family with the highest quality care and service in your time of need. In addition, we take pride in our responsibility to lighten your burden as you take the first steps toward healing. No matter what your choice, we believe in lives lived well. please contact us with any questions regarding your pre-arrangement requests. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, individual attention, providing support to the community, healing lives and grieving hearts, and celebrating lives well lived are our privilege to help. Contact us today or visit us online at carmichaelfuneralhomes.com. Celebrating memories you'll always cherish. Carmichael Funeral Homes.
This podcast is brought to you in part by AM 920 The Answer, Atlanta's home for news, opinion, and insight. Just go to am920theanswer.com to listen live. That's am920theanswer.com.
Thank you for joining me for the Cobb Life edition of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast from your local news source, the Marietta Daily Journal and MDJ Online. Be sure to pick up a copy of this month's Cobb Life magazine and visit us online for more complete details on the stories we've discussed, plus more stories that affect you and the people of Cobb and surrounding areas. Subscribe and share this podcast to get all the latest hyperlocal updates, plus great stories about what makes living in Cobb so special. Or ask Alexa or Google Home to play the Marietta Daily Journal podcast for you. Share your thoughts or questions with us in the comments section or call the MDJ podcast comment line at 404-997-8655. We might even share your comment on an upcoming episode. The MDJ podcast is produced by BG Ad Group. Jacob Sutherland, Director. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.